Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.
We'll all be spending most of the evening looking at the action from Metz, of course, and we've been talking to Kathleen over the last couple of days who's over there. The weather doesn't look quite as appealing. We had a little bit of a debate in our pre-show meeting, Maeve, just about what would represent success across these two games.
Yeah, it's difficult to, I suppose, quantify it in a way you want. Performances, really, that's the main thing, I think, just to set us up. I think there's always an eye on the playoff at the end of it. So it's just a really good opportunity to kind of test ourselves. But yeah, I mean, obviously you'd be hoping to get a result. What is the result? A positive one is probably a draw, I would imagine. You know, obviously Eileen said yesterday they're going for a win, and you know, that's always the hope, is that you can set up in a way that you'd be able to get a win if things go right. But everything needs to go right on the night.
Which one are we more likely to draw?
Hopefully tonight. Well, I don't know. Well, actually, I mean, who doesn't want to get a result against England in Aviva? Like, that's the.
If you were to pick one, that'd be the one.
I mean, yeah, like, you can't go look too far past that. Like, but yeah, when we played France in their last pre-World Cup friendly, you know, we were outplayed in Thailand. It's kind of, it was on that performance or that kind of game, it would be hard to see them get a result. But I think we've improved a lot since then, and you know, the experience of the World Cup behind us, playing against the teams that are ranked much higher, will definitely stand to us, I think.
We get to a position on Wednesday where we're reviewing the last two games and we are sort of critically evaluating the success bit at that stage, to foresee into the future a little bit. Like, is it too weak a statement to say that it's not important? That's the wrong way to word it. Is it too soft a stance to say that we could accept not getting anything out of the two games and still feel as if there's some progression?
Yeah, I suppose like that, it does depend on how we perform. If are we completely outclassed, or are we been able to go toe-to-toe with them for long periods of the game? And that you only kind of know that with the hindsight at the end, you know, how the games themselves specifically unfolded. Or, you know, it's always moments, obviously, that win games. Or hopefully from our side, it won't be errors. It would be maybe, you know, it might be individual brilliance from the opposition. But yeah, I mean, it is... It's a difficult one, because obviously in the Nations League we were the favourites. We were expected to win every game, and now realistically on paper, we're given our rankings and everything, we're expected to lose every game. So it's just completely the opposite.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're at the opposite end of the scale. We'll get into looking at exactly what you feel the team makeup will be tonight. We want to talk a little bit about France as well. But just one last one on that one. Your sense of, because there was such an excitement about Eileen Gleeson coming in at the start, the results she was getting before she was made permanent manager, and the excitement post that, and the noises that are coming from the team as well. But you mentioned the 3-0 defeat to France in the World Cup warm-up game in Tala last summer. What's your sense then, as we head into this extraordinarily competitive window, your sense of whether or how much better an Ireland team we are now than we were 12 months ago?
I think so. I think we've a lot more experience behind us. Like, I think it was relatively unsettled at that stage, and I suppose everyone was kind of, there was a lot of uncertainty around the squad been announced and everything. But I mean, similar to France, would have been in similar positions, so it's not really an excuse. But I do think there's a bit more maybe consistency now within the squad, and kind of like that, the girls who mightn't have been as experienced before the World Cup, they have that behind them. And I think we will be able to compete with them for periods of the game. Like I said, it's just that trying to push up the field then when we do have the ball, and can we kind of pose some threat to France, I think, mainly from set pieces maybe.
Is there anything maybe to be gleaned from the defeat to France last summer, like, or can you read much into that? Because if memory serves, there was a couple of Irish errors in that game as well that led to French goals and chances. So is there much to be taken out of that one tactically, I suppose?
I suppose they'll look, obviously this is going to be our last meeting, so they will look back on that and you know, analyse it to death. And I think it's, France will have moved on as well. They've progressed too, you know, and I think they're playing a different style, but they always have different players filling in and out, injuries, all that type of thing will play into it too. But I think I don't think they'll be looking too far in the past. They'll be trying to now focus on, you know, obviously we've new management, and they'll be implementing their certain way. I don't think they'll be focusing too much on that game.
Marie-Antoinette Katoto, how good is she?
Yeah, she's quality, isn't she? They're littered really with talent, like, across the front line. You know, she's interchangeable with some air there behind her as well. And she's just so athletic and just has pace to burn, really. So, and Gianni then, usually operating on the right kind of can come in too. And that's the one thing I think that if we are, you know, pushing on and trying to get a goal, it's just that threat in behind they're going to always pose, you know, and their left side's really strong as well. So, yeah, it's a challenge.
It probably leads us nicely into a situation where, like you mentioned some of those names, the likes of Cascarino as well. There's other, like, extraordinary threats on the French side. It's sort of a night where you want a centre-back who's an unbelievable leader, you know, playing good football at a big club in England to be fit and there. You know where I'm going with this. What? How much of a blow is the loss of Nifahi, and what do you think the makeup of that? I presume it's still going to be that back three, but what's your sense of where she goes with that?
Yeah, Niamh will be a big blow. Like, she's just, I think she brings so much calmness, especially in these kind of games when, you know, our backs will be against the wall and that. But yeah, I mean, having said that, like I said, we've a lot of players now to kind of, Eileen has a bit of a headache back there to pick between, but I think Louise will come back in. I know she wasn't deemed fit to play or start in the last game, but I think she'll be in, I think, from the start. And I'd imagine then, it's a tough one to call, but I would say maybe Caitlin Hayes and even possibly Anna Patton too. And then
you think
it depends how, I suppose, you know, we don't know the insides of how the camp is operating and whether she's settled in straight away. Or, you know, do you just throw her in right from the start? I don't know. Same, maybe possibly if Emmanuel might start, or I would even see her maybe starting at that right wing back role, which I know Heather Payne has operated in there for a good while now. But it's just, I suppose, Heather's abilities are, her strengths are really attacking wise and everything. She's a quality player going forward, and I think we might be doing more, well, I know we'll be doing more defending tonight than attacking, so it's a possibility either. And then maybe McCabe then, I'd imagine, on the left. But it's a difficult one to,
it is, isn't it? And like a lot of it does ride on that bit of, is she willing to put Patton in straight off the bat? She's obviously playing at a high level in England. She has shown before with Hayes that she was willing to throw somebody in at the deep end.
Like, I mean, Patton even has played more minutes than WSL than Katie McCabe. You know, the season she's played every like full 90 minutes for 18 games, so she does have that behind her. But you know, we've Diane Caldwell there as well, and she could be another shout to start.
Megan Connolly?
Yeah, Megan Connolly as well. So, I mean, I know she was more predominantly playing in midfield too, but she's been starting a lot. So I think it just shows how competitive the side is really, like, and even looking on into midfield then, you know, Megan Connolly can operate in a holding mid spot, but we've Denise O'Sullivan back now as well in that centre mid role, and the likes of Tyler Toland and Rusha Littlejohn as well in there. So
if Connolly doesn't start in defence, and it sounds like you're saying that she probably won't.
Well, it's hard to read how, I suppose, the camp has gone, because we can only base it off the last camp, and you know, every camp kind of, because there's such a gap between them, that, you know, things have changed, or players are playing well at their clubs, or that, or they just come in, and sometimes, you know, in the first training they might be looking sharp within the camp situation, and then suddenly they're in the manager's mind. So yeah, it's a difficult one to know who's going to... Someone, I think one or two people are going to be very disappointed. Yeah. That may have featured a lot for us before.
So let's assume she doesn't start in defence, right? And let's obviously assume Denise Sullivan will start in that advanced role. And then after that, you're talking about Connolly, Littlejohn or Toland, two from that three.
Like I said, Connolly could potentially obviously start as well in centre-back instead of Patton, maybe. Yeah. If she's not going to go with the newness there, so... Yeah, I'd imagine...
If you were picking two from that three, Mason, we're putting you on the spot here.
I think Rusha has been playing out of her skin actually lately, but she has been also nursing like an Achilles injury, so that could really factor into it, because they have to look at the quick turnaround to the England game as well. So it's kind of, you know, do you play her for a half, or is she fit to play start at all, and or is she just, do you play her from the start and see how long she lasts? I think she's good. She's kind of good on the ball as well to keep possession, which be really important. And then it's Tyler Toland then, or Megan Connolly. I didn't think Megan did had a great game the last time out, but again, it's kind of so long ago now that it's, you know, be nearly forgotten about, and it's really it's a tough one to call looking at it.
If the three of them are fit, then you're saying that Rusha is the banker, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Think,
and then it's a fight out between the two.
As in if I was picking it, I've played with her for many years, and she just kind of has that tenacity, but also, like I said, the quality on the ball. She doesn't just clear it away, she'll try to make smart passes and that. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll be doing a lot more defending as well. So maybe it would be good to have Connolly in there, who has a bit more of a defensive mindset. So
Denise O'Sullivan was saying, you know, acknowledging that they would take a draw from this game, which is quite interesting in the build-up. Is that a tough dressing room to be in? You know, when you're in a dressing room before a game where everyone is acknowledging, look, we would absolutely take a point here. Can that be a tough environment to be in, or is it all just one big mass siege mentality focus on getting the draw?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think it's a... I suppose your goal is clear, like in your head, and you know that's what you're going for. So you know that the decisions you're making are, you know, maybe you're like erring on the side of caution rather than gambling, or you know if you're still in the game and it's 1-0, you know, in the first half you're not going gung ho trying to get that goal back to get your second goal. It's kind of a case of, well, if we're still 1-0 at 60 minutes to go, it can be seen as a positive. I mean, yeah, I've played in games where like a qualifier where we weren't actually allowed out of our half unless we had possession of the ball in the other half. So
that was an order.
Yeah, that was
right. Really.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Even if was there like the caveat of if it's on?
No, if we didn't have possession, yeah, and it wasn't.
International.
It wasn't. Yeah, wow. It wasn't like if we weren't certain to win the ball, like you just set up, and ironically we got a draw out of that game, so yeah. 1-1 draw against Russia and a qualifier. So we got a penalty, you know, we just one ball, we got a penalty, and we drew the game. So it's kind of, you're in that mindset throughout the camp that like, you know, you're kind of so focused on it and you know your roles that I think, you know, like that, if they did get a draw, then it'd be amazing, really.
Is it easy to buy into something like that, or as players are you like, oh, Jesus, come on, like, you know, because your natural instinct as a footballer is to want to have a bit of flair. And...
Well, exactly. I don't know how, you know, the attack-minded players feel about that when you're just been, kind of parking the double-decker bus as such, or triple-decker in that case, like in front of the goal. So, you know, it's different, but I suppose it's, you know, you get a lot of satisfaction too from defense. Well, I did as a defensive player, like, you know, to kind of, obviously if they're going to put their bodies in the line, do everything they can, and like, you know, a nil-all draw would be fantastic. If you, like I said, looking on paper, we're 25th, they're third, like there's, you know, there's no shying away from that, and obviously win is still a possibility. Of course you're gonna hope for that, and going out, you know, who knows, like they actually this day 10 years ago I think we played Germany in a qualifier, we went 1-0 up, we Steph even equalised in the 89th minute I think, and of course we ended up losing the game. A bit like, I won't even talk about Man United last night,
it's like first thing came into my head.
Yeah exactly. But you know, like that, sure, we all know football's so unpredictable that you know, a goal either way can completely swing it, and who knows, we can dream anyway that we might get a win even.
All of that sort of predicate, and you would expect that it would make total sense for us possibly in both games to be a little bit more defensive minded. I think that would be a smart, pragmatic thing from Eilean Gleeson's point of view. The one position we didn't discuss was up front. Is it so straightforward, or you have Leon Kiernan coming into playing a good few minutes, coming into a bit of form? Lucy Quinn obviously scored those couple of goals against Northern Ireland. Was it still come back to Caruso, or what do you think?
I think so, yeah. I think that's probably, you know, maybe the most likely anyway, because just given of how we're going to be playing against the French, and then I think, like you said, those options on the bench to come on, you know, particularly maybe as the game wears on, defenders are getting tired, like Leanne's pace to burn, Amber Barrett there, you know, Abby Larkin, there's loads of players there that can impact a game. Jessu, we didn't even, I don't know where she was fitting into the team, but she was player of the match in that last game, so
you have to make room for her, do you?
It's a difficult one. I mean, really, there is about, you know, it hasn't really happened before. Usually the team nearly picks itself, or it has in the past, or very close to it. You might have 12 players in contention, but I think realistically, like for tonight, I think there is 15 players who could, either any of them could start, I think, and I don't think we'd be particularly stronger or weaker with any of those 11 starting.
Jessu is so good technically, and again, you mentioned it earlier on in relation to some of the centre midfield with Ruisha Littlejohn. I think that technical bit of being able to pick a pass and be accurate with it, and she feels like an important player who will start tonight, and maybe on the right hand side of midfield. Or
yeah, I mean, there's only really one spot up there, like on the right, for up for grabs, so it's a difficult one. And like I said, Heather had a great game out last time too. And then a few minutes ago, I was nearly putting Aoife Mannion in. So we can play three on the right, but it's a difficult one to call.
It's where Eilean Gleeson earns her corn now over the next few days. Your predictions then of let the head rule the heart here, and give us your predictions for the next two games.
I think if we can get, I mean, I'd love to get two draws, obviously. I mean, I'd even much prefer to get two wins, but I think if we can get anything out of the two games, it would be a great start. And I think, you know, we still have obviously Sweden and the rest of the group to look forward to too. And yeah, I don't think we can kind of read into it, you know, be too disappointed if we don't get a result, and then obviously don't take it out of proportion if we do, because it's, like I said, it is that playoff at the end, and you know, the end goal of qualifying for the Euros, hopefully.
You said there, did you say let's not talk about United last night or something like that? Have you revealed your allegiances here?
Yeah, I'm unfortunately a United fan, so it was, yeah, difficult.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, just crazy. Like, it was, how you can be winning in the 99th minute and lose is just,
They just find new ways to lose games.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. I don't know. you think they've done it all, and then you watch that. It's crazy. Yeah.
Thanks, Millie, for that. We'll catch up with you again, hopefully, over the next week or 10 days as we pick through the bones of these games. Enjoy tonight and again on Tuesday as well.